Ralph Brummel tiptoed to room 326 and cracked the door just enough to see in. Yes, there was Langstrat, Sandy Hogan, and the others all meditating, chanting. He stepped silently into the room and found a chair halfway around the circle from Langstrat. They were calling for a certain spirit guide. He'd never heard the name before. Outside, Hankins Marshall gave the remnant a brief rundown on the situation, and then Hank concluded, "This is a spiritual battle, so you know what to do." They all knew, and they were ready. Marshall, Hank, Kevin, and Susan went into the building. Bernice went to a vacant spot on the steps and sat down to watch for the VIPs. Rafar emerged from the walls of the room, stepped up behind Langstrat, and sank his talons deep into her skull. Her countenance took on the unmistakable expressions of the Prince of Babylon himself.
"Indeed,"
came Rafar's voice from Langstrat's throat. Everyone shuddered, their eyes popping open and then widening at the sight of Langstrat, her eyes bulging, her teeth bared, her back arched like a crouching lion.
"Indeed. Have you all come together to see your vision fulfilled? So shall it be."
The creature pointed a crooked finger at Sandy.
"And who is this newcomer, this searcher for the hidden wisdom?"
Sandy Hogan.
"Have you walked many pathways with Madeline, your instructor?"
"Yes, Rafar, I have."
"Then descend within yourself again, Sandy Hogan, and Madeline will meet you there."
Instantly, a slimy, death-like spirit behind Sandy clapped his bony hand down on her head. Her eyes rolled upward. She wilted in her chair and felt her body dissolving away, along with all rational thoughts and nagging fears. She heard a familiar voice.
"Sandy!
Madeline, where are you?" Madeline appeared deep within an endless tunnel, floating forward, her arms outstretched. Sandy moved toward the tunnel to meet her, and Madeline came into sharp focus, her eyes sparkling, her smile like warming sunshine.
"Welcome."
Alf Brummel watched it all happen and could see the dopey, ecstatic look on Sandy's face. They were going to take her. Lucius floated silently through the roof of the administration building and landed on the third floor, folding his wings behind him. He could hear Rafar bellowing and boasting in the lounge, and the strong man going through his preliminaries in the conference room. So far, they had no fears or suspicions. The elevator down the hall opened. Yes, it was Hogan the Hound and the praying man, Bush, and two people the strong man would not want to see alive, Susan Jacobson and Kevin Weed. Suddenly, there was a flutter of wings and a frantic gasping. A demon shot down the hall toward him, wings rushing, his face filled with terror.
"Prince Lucius! Prince Lucius! Treachery! We've been tricked! Hogan and Bush are free! Susan Jacobson is alive! Weed is alive! The saints are gathered and praying!
The demon's ranting ended abruptly in a choked gargle. Lucius pulled his sword out of the demon's belly and swung it in a fiery arc through the ebbing body. The demon dissolved in a puff of red smoke. Outside on the front steps, even as passers-by stared and gawked, the remnant was in prayer. Sandy could see other beautiful beings emerging from the tunnel behind Madeline. Oh, who are these?
New friends, new spirit guides to take you higher and higher.
Alexander Kasif exchanged documents and contracts with the regents and the attorneys. They were discussing all the little loose ends that needed sewing up. It wouldn't take long. The cloud finally closed around the town of Ashton, trapping Tal and his company inside a dark web of evil. Suddenly, Gila whispered, "They're descending." The ceiling of demons, that boiling red and yellow tinted blanket of black, began to settle downward, closer and closer to the town. Soon Ashton would be buried. Several cars were just turning onto College Way. The first carried County Prosecutor Justin Parker. The second, Eldon Strong and State Attorney General Norm Mattily. The third, Al Lemley and three federal agents. As they passed through an intersection, a fourth car turned right and joined the procession. The car just happened to carry that true blue accountant, Harvey Cole, with a sizable stack of papers beside him on the seat. Tal now held a golden trumpet in his hand, gripping it tightly, every muscle like tightened wire.
Warriors, ready! Ready!
Marshall, Hank, Susan, and Kevin found the conference room. Marshall signaled the others to wait. Then he opened the door and stepped inside. Kasif sat at the head of the conference table. The regents and the four attorneys were seated around it. The demons in the room immediately drew their swords and backed up against the walls. Not only was this the unexpected newspaper man, but he was accompanied by two heavenly warriors. The strong man knew this meant trouble, but not that much trouble. He looked at the intruders defiantly, even grinning just a little, and said,
"And just who are you?"
"The name's Marshall Hogan. It's time we met."
College treasurer Eugene Baylor did not like the looks of this at all, and neither did the others. Marshall stepped up to the table.
"I want my daughter, Kasif, and I want her unharmed. Let's deal."
Kasif and the strong man only laughed.
"Deal, you say? You, a mere man, wish to deal with me?"
Kasif took a few side glances at his team of lawyers and added,
"Hogan, you have no idea what kind of power you're dealing with."
"Oh, no," said Marshall. "That's where you're wrong. I do know what kind of power I'm dealing with. I've had some really good lessons all through this thing, and some good lectures from my friend here."
Marshall opened the door, and in came Hank, and Creone, and Triskel. The strong man jumped up, his jagged jaws gaping. The demons in the room started trembling and tried to hide behind their swords.
"Relax, relax," said a lawyer. "They're nothing."
But the strong man could feel the presence of the Lord God enter the room with this man. The demon monarch knew who this was.
"Bush, the praying man."